This interview is with Dr. Archie MacNicol of the University of Manitoba, one of the authors of an article on bleeding disorders in the November 2006 JCDA. Archie, what prompted you to write this article?
Well, I think that there were a number of issues that sort of all came together around about the same time, which sort of stimulated us to write this. First and foremost is that over the last decade or so, there has been a much better understanding of hemostasis. In particular, there's been a huge increase in our knowledge of the relationship between the coagulation cascade and platelets. Going hand in hand with this, we've now got a much better understanding of these disorders. The diagnosis has been improved dramatically and they're much better characterised. We're also seeing a patient population that are much more aware of the disorders that they have, and they're asking a lot more questions. And we felt that this would be a very good time for us to write an article which would give an update to dentists, which allowed them to participate in an informed communication both with their patients and with their patients' physicians. So that really was the sort of genesis of the article.
So what are the main points that you'd like dentists to take away from your article?
I think that there are a couple of what we feel that were important. Firstly, there are a huge variety of bleeding disorders. And really, not one treatment fits all of these disorders. For example, the haemophilias and the thrombocytopenias, very, very different disorders, very, very different management. We want to stress that the dentist has to have a good and open and knowledgeable dialogue with the patient's physician and or hematologist, not only so that the dentist can understand the underlying condition, but so that the physician and or hematologists understand the procedure and know the potential bleeding which might occur in these associated with these procedures. It's also important we feel that the dentists understand that, you know, patients will not bleed to death. You know, you're not going to get a huge blood loss. However, bleeding will occur in a number of procedures and in a good number of these patients. And really, the dentist has to be prepared to deal with these with bleeding when it occurs. And in the article, we give some very specific advice for primarily the local management of bleeding. Probably the biggest thing that we want dentists to take away from this all is communication. We want them to be able to communicate with the physician and also with the patients, both before and after the procedure. And one other little, what we feel anyway is a sort of interesting side to all this, is that the dentist actually plays an important role in recognising prolonged bleeding in a patient who has not previously been identified as having a bleeding disorder. So it really plays a frontline role in perhaps diagnosing patients with bleeding disorders.
Now, you mentioned patients and physicians in what you said there. Is there anything you'd like those particular groups to take away from your article?
Very much so. I think it's important that patients really make sure that their dentist is fully aware of the bleeding disorder that they have. Now, you will find that some patients are very well versed in particular disorder that they have, whereas others may have a very loose idea of what the disorder is. But regardless, it's important that the patient does ensure that the dentist is aware of that they have a disorder. With regard to physicians, we hope that physicians who read this article will realise that the dentist is really a partner in the management of the patient, and that they can have a very open and very knowledgeable communication with the dentist to certainly aid and reduce the possibility of prolonged bleeding in these individuals.
Thank you very much, Dr. Archie MacNicol, for those insights into your article in the November JCDA.
You're very welcome.